The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
Good morning. I am Summer Sibley Brown, filling in for Neville James as the host of Analyze This from WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands. September 25th has been recognized across the United States as the National Day of Remembrance for Murder Victims since Congress made this designation in 2007. As gun violence continues to soar in most states and in the Virgin Islands, this is a day to honor those we lost and their surviving families, and it becomes ever more important. Last year, the Women's Coalition of St. Croix unveiled a memorial quilt, which included the names of over 600 murder victims. Joining us now to share more information on how the Women's Coalition will be marking this day in 2022 is Executive Director Clemma Lewis. Good morning, Clemma, and welcome back to Analyze This.
Good morning, Thomas. How are you?
I am fine. You know, I'm happy to be hosting you. We're talking about something really serious today, but I always enjoy talking to you.
I agree. It's really, really, really serious, and I enjoy talking to you. Actually, I started the National Day of Remembrance for Murder Victims on St. Croix 15 years ago. So actually, we've been doing this 15 years. So every year, we do a different take around the commemoration, the remembrance, and the healing for families. Because we've noticed over the 15 years, violence has gotten worse, the murder rate has been off the roof, and our people are suffering, and they feel like there's no outlet. So what we normally provide is grief counseling for individual and family members as well, support. We help them follow through with the court cases. We're that support system for them that's non-biased and that's comforting. But also what we do on this day, the National Day of Remembrance, which is September the 25th, we will be at our building this time on East Street. Normally, last year we did agriculture. This year we're going to be at the Women's Coalition building, and we will be focusing on healing and relieving the pain. So we're going to have some speakers that come in to help families. We're going to have resources there to help families. We wanted this day to be dedicated to all the suffering. I don't think people get that we've suffered through the last hurricane. Then we had to go through COVID. And through all of this, we're still experiencing this rush, rash of gun violence. And everybody is affected. So it's important for us to be that healing, that supports for victims who can't speak for themselves. And those who lost their loved ones, you can't never bring them back. But it's important for us to let the families know we care about them. We want to help them keep their memory alive. We do a wall of remembrance on our Facebook page where we put the names of those that have died so families can go to the page. They can post comments. If we left off a name, they can add a name, because it's beginning more difficult and a daunting task to keep up with all the loss of lives.
First of all, I want to thank you and thank the Women's Coalition for this body of work, right? Because you said something really critical in the beginning. You said the healing, the suffering, the trauma, and the court case, right? These parents, family members, children, grandmothers, aunties, uncles, best friends, wives, right? A lot of, if it's not your direct family member and you're not in direct relationship, we are traumatized, but we get to move forward. Sometimes these families are in cases years. They have no closure. They non-biased support, right? Like where you are just there for them. And I want to highlight, like, you the container for holding them. And, you know, after we read about it in a newspaper, we kind of like, oh, this happened. We're traumatized for a moment. But if it's not your direct family member and you're not involved in the court case, you're moving forward. And sometimes these mothers, these wives, these children, they're stuck.
Mm-hmm. They are stuck because they can't get no relief. Sometimes they don't know who did it. It takes the court. I mean, we got cases that's 4 and 5 years old. All that's doing is keeping those wounds open for these families. At some point, they need to be able to close, not stop loving that person or keeping them in their heart, but it stages of grief. And everybody who experiences goes through stages of grief. And that's why we provide the grief counseling. But we're adding another twist, and we have for a couple of years, because I've also had families from those who might have perpetrated the crime as well, who also may be suffering because they as well, they might have perpetrated, then their family member turned around and got killed, or they committed suicide. So it's about who else, the victims, and helping those families get through this grief, because it's hard. I mean, I've been doing it for 15 years, and I got some families that have been with me, Sybil, for the whole 15 years. Every year they go, Clemma, are we going to do? I say, you know, as long as I'm breathing, every year we're going to do this remembrance, and we're going to bring your loved ones out, and we're going to support you. We're going to follow up with your court cases. Be that voice, because it's hard for them. And it's hard for all of us. I might not have had someone killed, but I experience it when I'm doing the counseling. I experience it when I go to the morgue with them. I experience it when I have to help them plan the funeral, when we go to the funerals and support the families through the funeral. So everybody is a casualty. There's nobody left unturned in this. It's painful for all of us. It's painful for the whole community. And I just need us to step up. And if you know somebody that's suffering, lend them a hand, be supportive. They don't need no extra melee. They don't need no put downs. Ask them what you could do to help them. That's all.
But the National Day of Remembrance is powerful in terms of for families or mothers or wives who, outside of the support the Women's Coalition is providing for them, could feel isolated and alone in this community. When you see people just moving forward, right, and you're stuck in that loss, and there's a small group of people that you're grateful for, they're holding you up, they're there to support you, but you're like, everybody else gonna just live their life and not remember that I had a son who I loved, who I still love fiercely, or, you know, I have a husband, or I'm living, raising my children without their father. And so I feel like the National Day of Remembrance is a day where we expand that community for all of us, because you're right, there is no winner in our community on either side of this. And even if you're not directly related, if you're not, you know, a family of a victim or a perpetrator, you know, people are traumatized. The other day, when them shots fired in Princess, I have a friend who was like, I didn't know what to do. Yeah.
You don't know what to do and you get stuck. I mean, when they had those shots fired, that was somebody we know, loved one. It's just about, that's what I'm saying. We all impacted some way, even if it's not directly our families. That's why this National Day Remembrance, they can come civil, they could cry, they can get up and speak. We always give them some kind of memento to hold on, to take home. We get a material. We try to set up counseling. And it's open to the whole community. When we do stuff, you know, we don't do no closed stuff. This is about anybody in the community that have experienced it and been affected to come. It's going to be right here on East Street. We'll have flyers out soon. We'll be advertising. But I want to put it out. It's going to be September the 25th. It always is September the 25th from 4 to 7 right here at the Women's Coalition. And it's always going to be memorable, and it's always going to be supportive, and we're always going to be there for families, and not just on that day. Normally, we symbolize that day, and we all wear red and black. We wear the colors. We have ribbons. People get a chance to speak. I've always heard, Sybil, after the event, families have always came up and hugged us and said, I needed this. I look forward to this next year when y'all do it again. So it's not something we will ever stop. Last year, we had a lady in the community that made a quilt. Can you believe a quilt? And she quilted and engraved all the names of those, as many people as she could, that have died as murder victims. So we will also have that quilt up as well. to but display for families.
The number is staggering. We're talking about...
The number is staggering. We're talking about, since our count from the beginning, we well over 600. But I had to tell Shalene to tone it down because she was doing the whole Virgin Islands. So we trying to tone it down to just St. Croix because it's too much. Us trying to do the whole VI has been overwhelming, and we're just trying to focus. But let's just think about this year. Year before last, we did just 1 year. So it was like 30-some people in 1 year. How could we have that kind of murder rate in a community this small? And nobody knows nothing. No kind of resolution. And we talk and we cry, but we don't do nothing. We don't speak out. We don't help. I understand that's fear and retaliation. Retaliation is huge. So people are afraid to come out. But I don't like to be held hostage. I don't like to feel like I can't go out at night because I don't know what's going to happen, or I'm walking across the street and I'm a casualty. Why should we have to live like that? And that's how we live it.
It is how we're living. And I think, you know, if you are listening to us, put September 25th on your calendar. East Street, Christiansted Town, 4 to 7. It is going to take our whole community, not just to hold the 600 families, right, that have lost people. That's a lot of holding that's necessary. But also to like kind of turn the lens on, how are we going to end this? Right?
Yes.
These are our children that need protecting. These are our children that are doing this. So we need as many people to come out and be advocates and to be voices and to listen and hear and feel and heal. Like, you know, Clemma, I'm feeling you through the radio, right? You're not in studio, but I'm feeling you through the radio because I cannot imagine the load that, you know, trying to advocate for this.
It's hard.
Holding space for this.
You know, this is part of one of the hardest part of my job. I mean, I'm, you know, we definitely dealing with DV, sexual assault, and all that's raging, but the murder piece that we've had to take on, that we added to what we do in the last, probably the last 20 years, but we started doing the national day the last 15. You can't work with a family and not be there for whatever their pain is. You can't separate the DV from the sexual assault or the murder or the crimes, because it's all painful and you can't separate them. But we got to do something as a community. A young woman said to me the other day, Ms. Lewis, pretty soon there's not even going to be any men left for me to marry. She said, because they dying in numbers. We're going to have to go other places to find a husband. It's my home. I want to find my partner here. You know how deep that is? A young woman said that to me the other day after murder.
So I also want to elevate that it's no longer, I think there was a time when we could have been like, this is inflicting our young men. Mm-hmm. We now see that it has spilled over, right? Like gun violence knows no gender. Our mm-hmm. young women are becoming more frequent victims of this. Our young women are becoming more frequently involved in the perpetration of these crimes. And so as a community, we got to begin having some real courageous conversations about what's happening and why this is the avenue, because ain't no place in the Virgin Islands to make guns.
Thank you. And we do need to have the conversations, and I am always open if we need to have town halls. Are people going to come out? Are y'all going to come out and talk about what's going on and let's come up with some solutions? Because you're right. We also have women that have fell victim to it. We have women that have been part of it. But also, what about the family members, the fathers, mothers, and other relatives that got killed because the person they was looking for that wasn't there?
Listen.
Or they were some other family member. I can't get you, so I'm going to get the next one to you. We got that too. It's horrible. You just don't know what is next.
You know, the exponential growth, right? Because it really is exponential. The exponential growth of violence in our community is something we have to have the courage to address, because one, it's a quality of life issue, and it's a symptom of some things that are so much deeper that we hold it on. These things have intersections. It's not, it's like you said, it's not just gun violence here. And then on the other side, you have domestic violence. And then the other side, you have, you know, violent crime. But that, you know, they're not separated. They
are. All of it is intertwined. You're so good. The lack of parenting. We lost our moral. So the poverty rate, the racism, the sexism, the everything is all intersected, and we need to get that. You can't pull pieces out. It's all related. You're right. Absolutely right.
You know,
so what we got to do something about this. It's a call for this community. We got to come together. It doesn't matter who you are, your age, your sex, your race, where you come from, born here, not born here, because everybody is affected. We got to come together as a community. We got to come up with a way to save our community, because we're losing it. That's what bothers me the most.
But I love the way that you position. This is we. This is all of our responsibilities. And a lot of this, in a lot of these conversations, we have to understand that, yes, policy has a role. Good governance has a role, right? Good institutions have a role. Your community, your organization's role in the civic sector has been really service-oriented, filling gaps that the other institutions cannot. That has a role. But our individual ability to show up and build community together and support to ensure that we're advocating for the appropriate policy, we're advocating to make sure that the money in the institutions are being spent properly and allocated properly. We're supporting community organizations like Women's Coalition and showing up and showing out on days like September 25th. That is critical when we can show them that we have the numbers necessary. This is important to all of us, not just those who are directly impacted. Because the truth is you never know what day you're going to be impacted.
That's what I say all the time. You know that old saying, today you, tomorrow, today me, tomorrow could be you. So we have to realize that we cannot take ourselves out of this. It's about all of us. It's about this entire community. And there's never, trust me, us or any other, there's never no one agency or one entity could tackle this problem, because we can't even stop the guns. Really? Yeah, I think that really bothers me.
Well, you know,
we don't make them here.
But I think it really bothers a lot of people. And we're having siloed conversations as a community. And I'm going to keep driving people to September 25th, because it is a day. You know, you have a saying, who feels it knows it more, right?
Oh, yes.
Who feels
yes.
it knows it, right?
Yes.
Yes, but who feels it actually knows it more. And so we can't be so comfortable, for those of us who assume, like, you know, you're living your life every day. You think, like, I'm going to work. I'm doing the things that I need to do. I may be caring for my children. You see yourself in a particular type of way. So you think you're insulated in a bubble. But community violence, gun violence, it don't stop because you feel like you're not a part of it. Right? It is pervasive. And so September 25th, if you haven't participated before, it's an important start for us to be together. I'm Summer Sibley Brown, on with Clemma Lewis, having a really heartfelt conversation on the National Day of Remembrance. When we come back, we will continue the conversation.
Think of St. Croix as personal savings plans for all types of savers, designed to assist customers with their long and short-term goals. The Young Saver Plan can be a tool to teach children under the age of 18 how to manage their finances. The Holiday Club account is available for vacation savings. More of that. There are two locations, one in Gallows Bay and one in Peter's Rest, with 24/7 access via the Bank of St. Croix mobile app and at bankofstcroix.com.
From the terrifying to the beautiful.
I was in Tanzania studying chimpanzees.
To the comforting.
I'm with two award-winning chefs from Slovenia.
To places lived and places unknown.
In this small village in West Africa.
We start in Jamaica.
Check in with New Zealand footballer.
South Africa's
the US and the EU.
In Myanmar.
In the UK this month.
To all parts of the world.
The BBC World Service.
Starting at 2 a.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1. Continuum Care Hospice, founded in 2000, provides end-of-life care throughout the Virgin Islands. With a team of physicians, nurses, social workers, counselors, and aides, their hospice services are covered by most insurance and by Medicare Part A. They also have two locations, on St. Croix, 340-718-5683, on St. Thomas, 340-714-2273. All conversations are confidential. Continuum Care, CCIVI.com.
How do we know words? How do we accumulate words?
Writer Edna O'Brien.
Are they there in us before we know them?
She follows a quest many writers can understand.
As if these words were the generators of some kind of magic.
Authors, artists, sports, news, and maybe even some magic. Every Saturday on Weekend Edition from NPR News.
Weekend Edition, Saturdays at 8 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
Good morning. If you are just tuning in, you are listening to me, Summer Sibley Brown, having a conversation with Executive Director Clemma Lewis of the Women's Coalition. And we are talking about the National Day of Remembrance. It's September 25th. Every year, this is the National Day of Remembrance for murder victims. And we're 20 days and 14 hours away from the activity that will happen on St. Croix. In East Street from 4 to 7. And, you know, Clemma, I wanted to focus in on what you said the day was about. You said on that day, we're going to do healing. We're going to focus on healing. What opportunity does healing present to these families and our community?
Okay, so what normally happens on that day is that we bring in a spiritual leader that's non-denominational, not from a particular sector or whatever, but someone that has the spiritual peace that can resonate with all of us, regardless of what our religious background or non-religious background, but a spiritual peace. We start off with that. And then this time, usually we'll focus on maybe what is trauma, different things you can do. And we thought this would be appropriate year to do mindfulness, and the focus on mindfulness, some meditations, some things that families can do themselves in their own home that help them with the grief and trauma. And then we're going to have, we always have an activity where the families love this, where they get up and they get to speak about where they are in their stage of grief. They still get to recognize and talk about the person they love and what they need and what happens. And so then we move into those kind of activities. The speak out, I think for me, is the most emotional part, because they've gone a whole year not being able to say anything about what happened and they love one, and this is the opportunity for them. And this time I want to add the extra twist that, okay, let's talk about where you go from that now. We got a grief group here. I want to connect all the families so they can support each other. Let's talk about what you need to get you through the next phase. So it's going to be a lot more hands-on this time than we normally are. But they're also going to have an opportunity. We're going to put a board up, because we also do something that they can look on and reflect. We'll have the wall of remembrance, and everybody loves that, where we show in a PowerPoint we list all the names of those who have deceased. We had the Virgin Islands. I actually need to take that out and focus on St. Croix, because it's too much. It's too overwhelming for us to do the whole Virgin Islands. So we do that PowerPoint, and people love that. That's a moment of silence. And this time we're going to put up a board, and everybody could write a message to what they need to do, move on, and we're going to post it. My goal is to get people a chance to have a voice, speak out, and talk about what we need to do as a community to move forward. I want to make our space up here, because this has been a really personal task for me. I want to make this space up here a healing garden and a healing space. And we just built a new building, and I want to dedicate a piece of that space to have that garden there. So whenever a family member just want to come and sit down and reflect, it'll be open to them. That's going to be our major goal for next year. We're never going to get rid of grief. Let's be real clear. Grief is always going to be there. And everybody grieves in a different stage. And that's what we want them to understand. Don't let me forget, we also have materials that they can do hands-on workout. We have stuff for kids to do, because we never want to have nothing. You can't bring your children. So we even have the little children making hearts and pictures. We have activities. It's very interactive. It's not just come and sit down and people in front of you just talking. That's not what about the National Day is about. The National Day is really about the families and what they need to keep them through and help them move on to another year. That's what the day is all about.
So the National Day of Remembrance is a day of support, right? It's a day of, that's what I'm hearing, it's a day of support where community and all these families who've been impacted directly and for people and indirectly to come together and create a support mechanism, but also to honor the lives, because every life is valuable, right? And every loss of life is a tragedy.
And honoring other lives is important. So the support is one, but you're right. We have to do the piece of honoring their loved ones. That's why we do the message on the board. Last year we had people do hearts. The year before that, we had them writing on stones. We've done T-shirts where they write on and we hang up the messages. So yes, it's definitely also honoring is critical. That's why they get the opportunity to get up and talk about that person that's gone and what it's mean to them. And if they move forward, how they move forward. It is really, really centered and focused on the families and what their needs are. But like I said, I wanted to add a twist. Well, this year we're trying to get the families together so they can support each other. So I'm going to have some counselors there to hope they will be willing to set up some time to see some counselors or whatever their family need. In the past, I've brought out people from justice, people from the courts. I brought all kind of people out so that they can ask questions. I'm going to have to be honest with you. That didn't go real well because our families was real angry, because nothing has been done. And when I brought out the government systems who would know what's going on, families didn't do that too well. So I won't be doing that again because that didn't work out well. But we will be talking about what we can do in terms of the healing and the materials and maybe the children. Because sometimes while we in pain, we think that our children are too small and it don't impact them. I'm also trying to get the families to understand what it's doing to our children. So mm-hmm. we have activities there for the children as well. We always have activities for the children as well.
So last week, I had the opportunity to speak with Yvonne Peterson on the show, right? And we talked about social-emotional development. And mm-hmm. so helping the families on days like today, and of course, along the spectrum of the great work that you're doing on behalf of families in the Virgin Islands, that social emotional development piece, like that's critical for us stopping these cycles, right? Being able, you know, there are barriers to these two families receiving therapy and assistance, whether the stigma is like, that's just not how we deal with grief, or it's, I don't know where to find it, or I didn't even think to ask for it. So the piece that you're talking about, having counselors available, addressing the little people in this process and not overlooking what this means to them and what they're taking in and how it's affecting their development, that in itself is a critical piece of family healing, community healing, but also hopefully prevention. I wanted to highlight for people, if you know, Ms. Clemens said mindfulness and meditation, you're probably like, oh, that feels really fluffy. That feels really, I don't know if I want to be there. I want to say mindfulness is a practice that invites you to like be with yourself, to sense what you're feeling in the moment without interpretation and judgment and really feel. And I think, you know, to be honest, just to live in this community, a lot of times we're masking things, right? That's even without right. direct trauma, we put on, you know, wash your face, you put on your clothes, look good, feel good, go through the door, and we ignore what we are really feeling to kind of survive.
But it comes out. We ignore it and we put on the mask, but we act out in other ways. Whether we're not functional in our jobs, or whether we're not working well with other family members, or whether we're not working well, it eventually comes out. You can only mask stuff for so long before it starts spilling out of the mask. And we're trying to help catch that overflow. We're trying to help you take off that mask and do what you need to do so you don't have to mask it. We got so much pride. We don't want people to know we're hurting, or we don't want them to say the wrong thing to us, or don't say that because they're going to say this and they go, oh, I don't want to be around that person. How are we going to heal? How are we going to move forward if we got all these blocks, all these barriers, all these walls?
And if we get up under this, we are also so busy trying to survive individually that sometimes we're not making space for the people who are asking to be seen, right? Like when you do find the courage to say to a friend or a family member that something is happening for you, does that person have the capacity to be there with you, or even the mindset to direct you towards positive outcomes or behavior changes in the right way, which is why the counseling and the grief and like healthy behaviors and healthy conflict resolution and healthy ways of dealing with things have to be embedded in this community in order for the community to actually become healthier.
I agree with that 100%. And that's why it is definitely going to be a part of September the 25th. We can't make people do anything, but we can certainly make it available to you. We can open them doors, and our arms are there. We want you to know we're there and we care. This is our community too. We're not separate, and we're part of this community. Everything goes on, affect all of us here, our family members, people we love and care about. All you need to do is come out. Take what you need. You ain't got to take everything. You might not like everything, but I'm willing to bet it's going to be something there that you can utilize, or something there your baby could utilize, something you could utilize. It's going to be something that you're going to go away with and feel good about showing up. I believe that.
So I have attended, just, you know, I've attended for my own personal reasons, the National Day of Remembrance for Murder Victims. You know, I used to attend Emanuela, and I used to attend Anne Kaysten regularly with Auntie Vel. You know, for Nephi. And so we would be there. So this day is meaningful to me. It has personal, and you know, I also had, you know, Reggie, Reynaldo Rivera. Like, I've had friends, like, over time, we have, in my lifetime, just accumulating the amount of people who we love who have been lost to gun violence, whether, you know, more of them just bubbling up, and I just, you know, and I know some of the wounds are fresh for people, so I won't call all the names, but it's like the accidental gun violence that, you know, affected, like, I lost a classmate this year, someone who was near and dear to so many people in this community. And so it is happening to all of us all of the time, and we are walking with it all of the time. And so please, again, put it on your calendar, September 25th, 4 to 7. I also wanted to go back to the earlier part of the conversation where you actually said that you had to kind of narrow it down because as an organization, trying to do this for the whole territory had just become so overwhelming.
Yeah, because we used to include St. Thomas and St. John, and we couldn't keep up. There was too much our numbers, us trying to keep a spin on it, and so we narrowed it down to St. Croix. But we have had a few people, and the one thing I can say about my agency, I can't speak to others. We are community driven. If we're doing something, the community say, uh-uh, Clemmer, that ain't working for us. You need to try something else. We hear that. And so a couple of people came to me and said, Clemmer, I didn't see my loved one on y'all list. I said, well, when was it? Tell me about it. It was two St. Thomas people. And I said, well, we were trying this last time. We're trying to narrow down because it's so overwhelming and it's too much. And they said, well, I live here. It impacted me. And I would like it to be on there for me. I told Shalene, put the two names back on. Just put it back on for them because this is where they want to remember them. And this is where they want to honor them. Put it back on. Because if that is that important, then it's important to us. So,
but I just
we didn't put the whole list back because it was too much. But if a family member come and say, yeah, they was in St. Thomas, Clemmer, but they still got killed. That was my uncle. That was my brother. I want to be able to, in St. Croix, when y'all do this, come and honor my uncle, my brother, my whoever, even if it was. We've also had statesides. Let me don't forget that. I've had family to come to me, well, what about my daughter that was killed in New York? Or what about the family member that was killed in Miami and they were born here? And we're trying to explain, well, the list wasn't really about who was born here. It was about who actually died here and traumatized the family and the community. But we realize when you love somebody, it doesn't matter where they born, where it happened, or, you know, where the incident took place. It's still death. It's still grief and it's still pain. So we also try to work around that too. So you will also see some names of a few people that died in the States, again, based on the request for the family, from the families.
You know, and you said it's still death and helping people, like death spreads a gamma, right? And it's so it is one thing when death is a natural cause. Especially, you know, we as a community and historically, like a person who lives a really long life and is finally, you know, doing their 360 and it's their time. It's painful, but it's different, right? Because yes, there is a so level different. Of celebration there. When a person is sick over time, again, it's painful, but the family has an opportunity to say goodbye and they understand what's happening, right? The inevitable is about to approach. It is much different to be woken up out of your sleep to hear that your child or your loved one was taken by a violent crime.
Oh, no. Somebody call you and tell you to look on Facebook and your child laying down there in the street and somebody took a picture and put it on Facebook.
And that's something that
you know
I think...
how devastating that is? I've got calls in the middle of the night for that.
That, you know, that's a whole phenomenon that I don't understand in this modern day, a time where we are videotaping people's loss, where we're videotaping tragedy, and it's being circulated on social media or in WhatsApp. Like, this desensitivity to death, right? All of these things are like hallmarks. They're shouting at us, like, do something, help us, community, if we want to, like, if we want to have some saving grace and quality of life. And they just keep, like I said, exponentially growing. There needs to be resources driven towards the prevention of violent crime in our community. And I know that there is an Office of Gun Violence Prevention that just opened, and I'm really hoping that they can work well and in tandem with the Women's Coalition, because...
Well, we've met him and spoke to him because he's even been real clear. This is so big. His office is office. He's not going to be able to do this work unless he had a community support and the community agents and community people to support that office and help them get out here and do what they need to do. There's no way that office could tackle this problem because they're not doing the part about the guns, I don't think taking them off the street or that. They're supposed to be focusing more on community needs, at least that's my understanding with the conversations that I've had with him. So we've definitely told him we're here to work in partnership along with some other groups. I know, so we're kind of waiting for the call for that, how he's going to handle that.
If you are just tuning in, you're listening to Analyze This with me, Summer Sibley Brown. We are going to take a short break, and when we come back, we will hear more from Executive Director Clemmer Lewis of the Women's Coalition. We will be right back.
Co COVID-19 vaccines are effective in preventing severe disease, but their effectiveness may decrease over time, especially in people aged 65 and older and those with chronic medical conditions. The VI Department of Health encourages everyone 5 years and older who are fully vaccinated to get a booster. Boosters are shots you get a few months after you are fully vaccinated to stay protected against COVID-19. Boosters are common with many vaccines. The COVID-19 booster works the same way. COVID-19 boosters have the same ingredients as the original vaccines, which have been proven safe for hundreds of millions of people. Boosters are safe, effective, and free for everyone. Contact your healthcare provider to determine which booster you may need. Protect yourself, your family, and our community. This message is brought to you by the Department of Health Immunization Program.
Great question. That is a great question.
And that's a great question.
Wow, that's another great question.
That's a great question.
Oh, that's a great that's a great question.
That is a great question.
What a great question.
On Fresh Air, you'll hear unexpected questions and unexpected answers.
Weekdays at noon on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
And we are back. This is Summer Sibley Brown on with Director, Executive Director Clemma Lewis of the Women's Coalition, and we are talking National Day of Remembrance for Murder Victims. Women's Coalition has been recognizing this day and the impact of the homicides on the surviving loved ones and communities for 15 years, every year, September 25th. And as we talk about this year's celebration, which is going to be on East Street happening from 4 to 7, we talk about healing. What role does the National Day of Remembrance for Murder Victims play in helping us build our future? What's your take on that?
Yeah, that's a good point. The whole reason for the day is so that we can remember those that we've lost and why we lost them and how we lost them. I think that if we remember those we loved and how we lost them and why, that's what my experience has been. That's kind of what drives members of this community when something really traumatic happens to them, which takes me into this piece around, which goes with what you said. Like next week, Wednesday at 2 o'clock, we're gonna be on Al 95. We have a show, I don't know if you heard of it, Summer, called Easing into the Community. It's called Easy. It's really cute. And every once a month, the first Wednesday of every month, there's a topic. And last month, the focus was on gun violence and youth. And that's when we had the director from the new gun violence office on the panel with us, as well as a mother that talked about losing her son and the initiatives that she's taken in the community because of the loss of her son. So next Wednesday, we bring in a mother from St. Thomas. Her name is Bernadette Gonzalez. She started a group called Victims United that's focused on survivors of homicide, like what we're doing on St. Croix. That's the main focus of her agency. And she does this in St. Thomas. And I would say for the last, 5 years, we've been partnering to do things together to kind of unite the islands, because I'm firmly believer we're the Virgin Islands. We're not St. Croix is not by itself. It's all the islands, but it is overwhelming for one group. So I was glad to partner with her. Now, her whole piece was about her son being killed and what happened. She started an agency in St. Thomas around that. So this is what I'm saying. This National Day of Remembrance it sometimes it sparks people to do things they haven't. Maybe they want to lead a group. Maybe they want to go to schools and start talking to children about violence. Maybe they just want to work on their own community and tell kids, if you see a gun, stay away from it. Or, I understand your brother was killed the other day. Or, I noticed you witnessed it. What can I do for y'all to help you? What can I do to help your mother? So it's the spark. The community to want to do something to honor those that died, because they died, for us to recognize that. But don't, they did, they're dead, we honoring them, but they left behind family, friends, a community. And how do we bring this all together? I can't do it every day, and I can't say it every day, even though it should be, but the National Day highlights that and get us to refocus on what that's all about. That's what that day is. That's what it's supposed to do.
So for me, I think the National Day of Remembrance is that it is a call to action, right? It is. But the action for me, and I'm talking personally now, is that remembering the humans in this process, right? Mm-hmm. Remembering the humans that, oh, wow, Summer, I can't say it enough. While you are living your life and have been able to move on, there are people who are stuck. There are people who need support, but there is an urgency to addressing this. And so, you know, for every mother, daughter, father, person like Ms. Gonzalez that you just mentioned, who used this really difficult thing to stand up and begin to become a part of the solution. Because their desire is that their family is the last family that should ever have to experience this, and that to honor the legacy of their loved one, we're going to do our part to ensure that this isn't commonplace anymore. That is so courageous. That is so courageous. It is so honorable. And those organizations like Women's Coalition and like Ms. Gonzalez's organization in St. Thomas, they need our support as community people. Now I'm here advocating for Women's Coalition. Like, you need to go to their website, WCSTX.org, and look at the work that they're doing. You need to go by the building on East Street. You need to, you know, be kind to the, even if it is just a kind word to like encourage you all, because the space that these organizations hold, you know, I have a nonprofit, I hold the food space. It's frustrating and difficult there, but it's not as traumatic to me on an, you know, I get really frustrated trying to advocate for food. I don't have to go to court and support a family through loss and this process that often may be too lengthy or not, just like your organization does. So there are organizations in our community that need our support.
We have another young woman on St. Croix. I don't want to leave her out. And everybody know is Aisha. Mm-hmm. Her son was killed on St. Croix. She works for the post office. And every year she does a march in Frederickstead and bring to people together around gun violence and the loss of her son. My hope is that, and the gun violence director was saying, and I agree with him, our hope is to try to unite all the different silos that's doing different things, because none of us are getting like a whole bunch of people. We all getting, you know, little groups. If all of us could support and unite and try to do it together, maybe our community will hear it more, because everybody doing their own thing. But Aisha, I want to big her up, because her son died in Frederickstead, and she started it on her own with just a little march from the market down to Buddle Park. And she's been doing it every year. The other day she had a video where they went to a cemetery. So I think everybody could do a piece, but I think if we can come together united, I think it would be more impactful. And we can reach more people and touch more hearts if we can do it as a group.
If you have any questions or would like to join the conversation, please call 340-718-0761. This is a critical, courageous, important conversation that I am honored to have with Executive Director Clemma Lewis, encouraging us as a community to come out for the National Day of Remembrance of Murder Victims. This is September 25th. We have independent citizens, mothers, daughters, people taking up the mantle, right? There is an urgent need for us to come together as a community and hold these families on this day so they have space to do what they need to do to be healthy in our community. I can't emphasize it more. Clemma, to have us, if you're driving in your car, if you're sitting at your desk, we have a community responsibility. And so if you feel so moved in your heart, like, reach out to the coalition, ask how you can be a part of this. If you have a skill, something you want to offer, or you're just going to be there, like, September 25th is around the corner. It's, you know, 20 days, 14 hours away. Although today's the 24th, so maybe the clock's wrong. Today's the 1st, so maybe it's 24 hours away. But so 24 days away.
24 days away. But what we're going to try to live stream it. We do try to do that. We're going to either try to do it on, we usually try to do it on Facebook live streaming. And then we put it, try to get it on our YouTube channel, because we do have a YouTube channel. Because I know it's some people that still don't want to come out around other people. I'm in that age group. I can relate to them. So we know it's some people that don't want to come out. But I also know it's a lot of people in this community that have been affected, have never been there, because they feel like they don't want to share their grief publicly. They don't want it to be around people. So I want to say to that group that don't want to come out and don't want to share their grief and suffering in silence, if you can't come to the National Day of Remembrance, you can call this phone number, which is 340-773-9272, and say, I would like to speak to a counselor. That's all you have to do. And we're 24/7, 365 days out of the year. You can just say, I need to talk to somebody. And hopefully that'll get you started on your road to moving past where you're stuck in grief, to move through your grief, because grief is definitely a process. But you got to open the doors and get started, or you'll never move. So if you can't do it public, do it private. Call us on the phone. Say, I need somebody to talk to. This is where I'm at. And we will help you work through it. And maybe if you can't do it this year, maybe if you start the process of healing now, you'll be ready for the next event next year. Because we will be doing it every year while I'm here. We will be doing it.
There is a 24-hour hotline. There is a call. I'm hearing you say, like, let us serve you. Let us help you. Let us be part of what helps you move or heal. And remember, and the phone number was 340-773-9272. I'm going to say it again because I want y'all to take advantage of it. 340-773-9272. That's a 24/7 hotline and main number. So you could reach out to the Women's Coalition. You could learn more about the National Day of Remembrance. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, I've been asking people this all week because, you know, these are really hard conversations to have. And I also want to know, what are you hopeful for, Ms. Lewis?
What I'm hopeful is, and what I've always been hopeful every year I've done this, is to see the relief in families and to hear them say, I needed this. This is going to help me move to the next phase. I want to get counseling. What other services are available, Ms. Lewis? What can you talk to my kids? That's what I want to get out of it. I want to see families really move and get the support and help they need and stop suffering and pain alone. They don't have to do that. Plus, it's important for us to honor those that's dead. I don't want their death to go in vain. People just killed them. We didn't expect it. So it's important for you to see those names and remember those people that died. And so honoring those that died, leaving with something that you can hold on to, that you can look back in and make you feel good, that's what the day is all about. This time I'm hoping they said, well, I picked up some activities when I'm at home by myself and I start thinking about my loved one and I start crying. Maybe I can do one of those activities, or maybe I could pick up the phone and talk to somebody that can help me get through this. That's what I'm hoping to get out this day.
So the National Day of Remembrance, September 25th, we are talking about an opportunity to be supported as a community, to find something, hopefully, that you could leave with that's helpful, to use your voice, but also maybe to pick up a new skill that helps you cope. I know this whole call was about the National Day of Remembrance, but you highlighted it. What other services do you have available in case there are people out there who need it? What else do you do?
Well, we provide overall individual, of course, and family counseling. And we focus on crime victims. It's a victim advocacy agency. So we focus on victims of domestic violence, sexual assault, sexual harassment. We do presentations. DVSAC do more education and training, but we also go out and speak, especially if there's victims in the group. We have activities here. We run support groups. We're getting ready to start two programs that I'm really excited about. We have a shelter. So if you're in a relationship and you need to get out, we have a shelter for victims of domestic violence. We have transitional housing for victims of domestic violence. If it's a situation where your life is in danger and we need to get you out, we will get you out of here. We have a thrift store with gently worn clothes. If you in need of clothing, you come to the office and we will take care of you. So we have a clothing bank as well. We have the shelters, the transitional housing. We are about to open a new building that's going to be like a community center. I wanted it to be centered around if community needed to have meetings or activities, they can do it here. Of course, they're going to have to make some kind of donation because the Women's Coalition is nonprofit. I would love to say just come, but you know, that ain't realistic. They would have to make some donation, but they won't be paying $200, $300, and $500 like some agency charge just to use their conference room or just to use their patio. If they want to have a block meeting, they can have it over there. We want to stay community centered. This agency provides services to all victims, women, men, and children. Yes, we have male victims as well. We have a lot of children. I have a child counselor that provides counseling for children alone. I have a court advocate that will prepare you, support you, go to court with you. Right now, a lot of the DV courts on Zoom, she'll be there with you. If it's in person, she'll be there with you. And then I have the standby staff here that we're here from 8:30 to 5 Monday through Fridays that we can see you in person. Unlike most agencies during COVID, they closed. I only closed when the governor said close. I guess it was a week or two, and then we were back open. Because I realized that we traumatized from one thing after the next. And if we're going to be an agency that's going to be there for the community, we have to be there for the community. That's why that 24/7, 365 telephone number is available, too, because I know things don't always happen between 8 and 5. Sometimes people need to talk after work. They need to talk on the weekend. They need to talk on the holidays. And we are available for that as well. We're here to support our community. We are the community. We live in the community. We're part of the community. We love our community.
Thank you.
It's all about the community.
It is all about the community. Thank you so much for your work. Executive Director Clemma Lewis, come out to the National Day of Remembrance, September 25th. I am Summer Sibley Brown, and this was Analyze This.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
Music can be an incredibly personal experience. A song can inspire you, it can comfort you, it can make you feel understood, it can even take you back to a specific moment in your life. And it all begins with the artist. Join me, Raina Duras, as I get personal through in-depth interviews with your favorite musicians and find out where those songs come from on World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
Neil Armstrong waited 6 hours and 39 minutes to step onto the surface of the moon. Jackie Robinson waited 20 months to play his first game with the Brooklyn Dodgers. And even DiCaprio had to wait 22 years to win an Oscar. You can wait until your destination. Don't text and drive.
Visit stoptextstoprex.org.
A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.